Hey, Crusade Channel fans, I'd like to introduce you to my friends at MediatrixPress.com, a family-owned and operated Catholic publishing company. They feature rare, hard-to-find, out-of-print titles that many people are searching for today. Ryan Grant, owner and editor, is also the creative mind behind the St. Robert Bellarmine Translation Project, bringing you important church teachings like the controversy over the Roman Pontiff, the subject of our Calvin Was Wrong series I co-host with Ryan. Mediatrix Press also has several opportunities for you to help with their restoration projects. Here's Jessica to tell you all about them.
Visit www.mediatrixpress.com and donate to the Robert Bellarmine Fund by PayPal. Participate in their Adopt-a-Book program and help them get more authentic church tradition into the hands of readers everywhere. And of course, shop their large selection of books available to be shipped anywhere in the U.S. Every purchase and donation directly supports their ongoing restoration projects as well as their beautiful family of five children.
So, for the best in authentic, rare Catholic books, visit my friends at MediatrixPress.com. That's MediatrixPress.com.
The Veritas Radio Network is guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth.
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great, and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive.
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chowderhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe,
and your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerkers Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Are you ready? Let's get it on. On the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Of this episode of South Park. It's coming right for us! Everybody's gonna die. Headline right now, at Fox News, new petition calls for second vote on EU. Folks, the entire civilized, wait a minute, back it up. Entire uncivilized criminal class, corrupt world is scared for the first time in their adult lives. They're scared. Good. It's the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, Xing the question of the day.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, I'll tell ya! Fixing to get fun.
In order to ensure the security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First
Galactic Empire!
Okay. Telephone number, if you'd like to be on the program today, it's easy to do. Call 844-527-8723. 844-5-CRUSADE. Email me directly. My email address is the same as it ever has been. KingDude, KINGDUDE, at MikeChurch.com. Official website for all things moi is online at MikeChurch.com. Find today's pile of prep. Today's brand new. Freshly minted, veritas et sapientia. That's our truth and wisdom quote of the day. And much, much more. Transcription of the program, audio clips. Every audio clip from this program, every segment of this show is still posted in the Founders Pass, Founders Player at MikeChurch.com. And, of course, it's at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. We are on the Twitter feed at TheKingDude. And on the Facebook at Mike Church, it's Mike Church Show fan page. I mean, just look at the headline on CNN right now. John Kerry rushes to shore up U.S. ties and loyalties to the EU. Let's listen in on this insanity.
And that worries the European Union. Secretary Kerry came right into the middle of that. He met with the EU foreign policy chief here. They discussed this issue. Secretary Kerry afterwards talked about it as saying that we didn't want anyone going off hot-headed, that people should be calm and rational about this, that everyone has a lot in common. This is a historic alliance that Britain's been part of it for a long time. The United States keeps Britain as a special ally. It's still has a very good relationship with the European Union. But the reality is here that there's a problem that Britain and Europe are out of step on how this should be done. And Secretary Kerry is trying to sort of, if you will, sort of try to put that fire out. This is what he said.
Oh, Lord. EU. The United States cares about a strong EU.
Of course.
Why?
It does.
Because there isn't one issue on which we work
today. Because we care about a strong AU.
Whether it's climate change, or whether it's counterterrorism, migration,
folks,
immigration,
folks,
you name it.
Follow the money.
We are working
together. Listen to this.
And it's through the strength of those countries coming together that we are able to make.
I got
to
put that on pause. We got to back that up. Back it up. Beep, beep, beep. You got to hear that again. Now, what did Kerry list? He listed the largest grifts. If you don't know what a grift is, look it up, G-R-I-F-T. He just listed the largest legal grifts in human history. Climate change, carbon taxes, carbon trading, our global war on terrorism. Oh, what a success story that has been. If you're Martin Marietta or Boeing or Teledyne or Raytheon or any other hell-forsaken entity that manufactures the implements of death and war. Just listen to the clip again. What is it that is at stake here? Because if you listen to what's at stake here, then we have the indication of why it is that there is such a panic.
Strong EU. The United States cares about a strong EU.
No, they don't.
Why?
Care about money.
Because there isn't one issue on which we work today.
Okay.
Whether it's climate change.
All right, climate change.
Or whether it's counterterrorism.
Counterterrorism.
Right. Migration, immigration, you name it.
Migration, immigration.
We are working together. And it's through the strength of those countries coming together that we are able to make good things happen.
Good things for who? Good things for whom? Mr. Secretary. I think we rather should play a John Rambo Kerry theme song here today and get into some comedy early, because this is comedy. What else could it possibly be other than comedy?
Here's a couple of essays that we have on this today. Robert W. Mary, writing at the National Interest, Brexiters Rage Against the Elites. Here is Pearson. Now, this is what they're really afraid of. Here's Pearson. Hold on. We have the... Gosh, I have two other stories here. Not that one. From the... that's another one of these days, folks, where I have so many things to print out, and I apparently have misplaced the other story, which is, if the Europeans can do it, why can't the Texans? And I thought I had printed this out, but I can read it from the screen here for you. This is what they're really afraid of. And what they're really afraid of, if the Brits can do it, why can't we? This is at libertyviral.com. If the Brits can do it, why can't we Texit? And that's the hashtag Texit. Last night, this was posted on Saturday. Last night, the people of Great Britain made history by declaring their independence from the European Union. By the way, the desktop presenter is on. I'm not sure what it's focused on, but I've got it on the screen here. The Brexit is one small step for man, but one giant leap for mankind. Oh, you gotta love that, don't you? One giant small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. It's difficult to even put into words the importance of this secession, as the Brits now have the right to rule themselves and have their own immigration and economic policy separate from that of the alien EU. An imperative precedent was set last night, and Americans should take notice. Darn Skippy, we should be taking notice. Now, folks, let's just go over what occurred on Thursday last. There was a secession. The term secession has been used in the United States to describe xenophobia and racism and war and suffering and misery. And we're about to celebrate one of the greatest acts of secession commemorate one of the greatest acts of secession in the history of the world. And that is the Declaration of Independence declared on the 2nd of July. Mr. Church, you just said the 2nd of July. Everybody knows in the 4th of July. No, it was declared on the 2nd of July. And then the final vote to try and achieve a unanimity was declared on the 4th of July. But on the 4th of July, 1776, a new order began. That's why the Great Seal of the United States was crafted in the early 1790s, Novus Ordo Seclorum, Latin for a new order for the ages. The new order for the ages was brought to bear, folks, by the globalists, the early globalists that concocted for the idea of having a constitution to replace the Articles of Confederation. Because we couldn't have nation states out there, like the ones that had just freed themselves in Great Britain or in the United States, American colonies, we couldn't have them out there as separate entities. They had to be reorganized, recobbled together, re-centralized. That's the secular John Locke, Thomas Hobbes way. And of course, Americans were only too happy to comply at the time, or should I say, American globalists were only too happy to comply at the time. But that's a signal event in world history, July 4, 1776. The next great signal event in world history is when South Carolina secedes from the I love this. When South Carolina seceded from the AU. and it seceded from the AU in 1861. So that's your second largest vote. And then the next largest, most important, most influential vote, I'm talking about a referendum, whatever. No, if it's singular, it's referendum. If there's more than one, it's referenda, plural. A little Latin there for you. this referendum on Great Britain leaving the European Union is going to go down in history as the most significant political referendum since South Carolina's Act of 1861. And you can mark that dude and stick a fork in it because that's the way it's going to be remembered. What's interesting about this, fascinating about it, is that the word secede is actually being used. The Europeans, the kleptocrats, the professional criminal class that holds residence at the EU buildings in Brussels is in a panic. You just heard Secretary of State. You know, Obama must have told him, hey, John, need to get on a plane. Get over there to Great Britain. Go tell our fellow partners in crime that the family not going to let the Great Britain influence anyone here in America. We're going to remain 48 states under one prison guard. And the fleece continues. Just go tell them. Get on a plane. You know. It's probably a conversation similar to that Obama had with Secretary of State Kerry, trying to quell the panic out there. I found with great humor that our morning show host here, Mark Kressels, was going to check out the flight departures and schedules at Heathrow Airport to see whether or not the machinations or the wheels of commerce were still turning in Great Britain after the horrors of the Brexit vote. You know, I promised to do this earlier today, and when I was talking to Mark about this, Hadrian's Wall. How many of you know what Hadrian's Wall is? Look, I could go and get it from somewhere else, but we'll just use the extent. How about this? Let's do aboutscotland.com. Here is the history of Mr. Church, please. What does that have to do with secession? It has everything to do with secession. Especially Brexit secession. So Europe is supposed to be panicked because they might, and people that live in Great Britain are supposed to be panicked because they may not have any more commerce ever again. No tea may be shipped in. The crumpet industry is going to dry up. The ships aren't going to leave Liverpool anymore. No more White Star Line cruise liners are going to be built and go into the ocean. It's over. If it weren't for government guiding the engines of commerce, then there would be no commerce. And if it weren't for the European Union government, there would be no commerce with the world. Do you realize how ridiculous? Hey, let me demonstrate to you how ridiculous and preposterous this is. By the way, our phone number, 844-527-8723. We always love hearing from you listeners out there on during our live program, which is on from 6 a.m. to almost noon every single weekday right here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. At the time of Julius Caesar's first small invasion of the south coast of Britain in 55 B.C., 55 B.C., before Christ, the British Isles, like much of mainland Europe, was inhabited by many Celtic tribes, loosely united by a similar language and culture, but nevertheless each distinct. He returned the next year and encountered the 4,000 war chariots of the Catavaloni in a land protected by forest and marshes and filled with a great number of men and cattle. He defeated the Catavaloni and then withdrew, though not before establishing treaties and alliances. Thus began the Roman occupation of Britain. Are you following this? Nearly 100 years later, in 43, anno, in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesu Christum, anno Domini, 43, the Emperor Claudius, by the way, a horrific martyr and torturer of early Christians, many of whom had directly seen miracles performed by our Lord themselves with their own eyes, which is why they were willing to become martyrs. No one ever tells that story. We should tell it more. Emperor Claudius sent Aulus Plautius and about 24,000 soldiers to Britain, this time to establish control under a military presence. Although subjugation of southern Britain proceeded fairly smoothly by a combination of military might and clever diplomacy, And by 79 AD, what is now England and Wales were firmly under control. The far north remained a problem. However, the Emperor Vespasian decided that what is now Scotland should also be incorporated into the Roman Empire. Under his instructions, the governor of Britain, Julius Agricola. By the way, the Latin word for farmer is Agricola. So this is Julius the farmer, Julius Agricola, subdued the southern Scottish tribal clans, the Saljovae, Novante, and Voltadigne, by 81 AD. Further to the north lived loose associations of clans known collectively as the Caledonians. There are still some descendants of Caledonians today. Agricola tried to provoke them into battle by marching an army into the highlands, eventually forcing a battle with the Caledonian leader, Calgacus, in present-day Aberdeenshire at a place called Mons Grapius. That's the Mountain Grapius, or Grapius. 30,000 Caledonians were killed, but the Roman victory was a hollow one. By the time Hadrian became emperor in 117 AD, the Roman Empire had ceased to expand. Hadrian was concerned to consolidate his boundaries. He visited Britain in 122 and ordered a wall to be built between the Solway Firth in the west and the River Tyne in the east to separate Romans from the barbarians. So there you have it. By 122 AD, Romans had colonized and settled and civilized parts of what we call the United Kingdom today. And, of course, Christianity would ultimately expand in there and would finish the job. But the point is, in 117 A.D., there was commerce. The Romans were, you couldn't have been a Roman and part of the Roman Empire and not have had commerce with the rest of the empire. So this is just ridiculous, this idea here that, whoa, the whole world, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Because of Brexit. 844-527-8723. If anything, folks, the sky has gotten closer or has been firmed up as it applies to world trade and world civilized affairs. Now listen to this. Back to the story I was about to read from you. It's become increasingly apparent that our liberties are only going to continue to be squandered at the federal level. While we are fortunate to have great men like Rand Paul and Justin Amash in Congress to fight back against the clenches of tyranny, for every inch of liberty we achieve, the progressives gain a mile. It has almost been a century since this country has had a liberty-minded president, and the progressives have all but ensured that freedom fighters have seen their last days in the White House. There's not going to be any freedom fighters visiting the White House unless they come from a foreign country. Heck, unless they come from the UK. The co-founder of LibertyViral.com, James Chalimi, and I at Liberty Hangout have always been huge proponents of state secession. We believe that a decentralization of power is a huge step in the right direction for liberty. As our founding fathers alluded to us three centuries ago, the government, which is closest to home, is the easiest for us, the people, to control. Now, Jefferson actually wrote about this, and I've played this clip from time to time, Jefferson on republicanism. And that is, Jefferson did not believe that you could have a republic much larger than a New England township and have it be successful. And that scale, we always talk about this here on this show, on the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, and that is that scale matters. It is scale that matters when you're talking about the size and extent of government. People love to use this word scope. We need to rein in the size of the scope of government. Well, scope is practically the same thing as size. And when you say scope of government, scope encompasses all that government touches these days. Name for me, if you can, what area of life government does not touch today. Name it. You can't. You can even go to the bathroom. Take your smartphone with you and go to the bathroom while you're trying to answer the question, and government has touched your bathroom. The water that is in your toilet is regulated. There's an actual federal law against putting too much water in a toilet bowl these days. You're making that. I'm not making it up. Your sink, the faucet in your sink, there's a federal regulation on how much flow can go through that faucet. Most people don't know that. In the drain pipes, there are federal regulations on the width of drain pipes. You can't even go to the bathroom without having government peeking over your shoulder. Go turn a light switch on. Can you turn on here? Let's just take a stroll around Studio D just to demonstrate just how pervasive and perverse this monster we call Leviathan is today. So if I look straight ahead, and I'm looking right at three television screens. All three television screens are. Oh, you're going to pan around? All right, turn that. Go that way. Well, Christopher's on the ball today. All right. Show them the TV screens. If you're not watching this on YouTube, you're not getting the full effect here. Go to YouTube.com and look for the official King Dude Crusade Channel live broadcast. Okay, see the pair of televisions there. Everything that's inside those televisions is regulated by the FTC. That's the Federal Trade Commission and various and sundry federal agencies, including the FCC, because everything is tuned inside to certain frequencies. So the televisions are regulated. See the black wires? Can you zoom in on the wires that are going on the bottom of the TV? See the wires? Zoom in a little bit more. See the wires going in there? The width of that coaxial cable that is going into the back of televisions is a product of a federal regulation. Now, let's scroll to the left a little bit, shall we? Get you a nice little tour of Studio D. Oh, look at the old-fashioned radio there. See that? You know what's on the inside? I actually took this apart. You know what's on the inside of that? There's a stamp on the inside of that old television right there, that old radio right there, that has an FCC license number on it. For the, I can't remember what it was, but there's an FCC stamp. Government regulated that old-fashioned, old-timey radio there. All right, let's continue our magical mystery tour. Our government has screwed everything up and has regulated, and has its fingers, its claws, and everything that we touch. Let's pan left. Okay, continue left, because you got the light switches right there. And you zoom in on the light switches, okay. Those light switches and everything all the composite parts of the light switches are all regulated by a federal agency. There are books upon books, volume upon volume of federal law that went into making those light switches. Tens upon tens upon tens of pages of rules and regulations, you know, because we have to make sure that the idiots that would manufacture these things don't kill people when you go to flip them on. So the FTC or whoever's got to step in has got to make sure that everything is as it should be. Now, pan back around to me. Let's go here. Here is my New Orleans Saints Tervis cup, right? The plastics that go into this cup are all regulated by a federal agency. There's a federal bureaucracy that regulates this. The coffee inside is the product of a federal. It may be the only legitimate federal regulation because the coffee inside of here, there actually has to be a free trade deal with Colombia so that the beans could be imported in here. Ask the question. I live in Louisiana. Why can't Louisiana, after we vote to leave the AU, why can't Louisiana make our own deal? We got sugar, you got coffee, Colombia. Let's deal. So now I just mentioned sugar. The sugar that is in my coffee here today is regulated by a federal agency here, and it is also regulated to the chagrin of sugar growers in Florida and sugar growers in Haiti. Because the people in Haiti can't compete because this stuff is subsidized. There's nothing that's on the look at my eye, the optics in my reading glasses, all regulated, all tainted and touched by the federal magistracy. I don't have any food here today, but if I did, I would show you a snack bar or something. And you know that the FDA and the EPA have got their hands in that. The point is, there's nothing in this room that Christopher just gave you a little roundabout tour of. Using the Studio D dude cam, there's nothing in this room that's not touched or tainted by federal regulation. Almost all of it has been bought and paid for by someone that stands to benefit from it. And that someone is not you, and it's not me. That's just one of the reasons why we ought to be talking about leaving the AU. Now back to the story. Our new endorsement for 2016 isn't for any politician, they write at Liberty, vitalliberty.com, or for any political party. We are endorsing secession in 2016 and call on the sovereign Republic of Texas to be the leading voice of freedom. A union no longer exists when the consent of the governed is lost. We must disband ourselves from this despotism and start anew before all hope is lost. Folks, telephone line, if you'd like to be on the program, if you'd like to call the show, it's easy to do. Call 844-527-8723. Let me prepare you here. I take a moment and prep you for what we have in store for you for 4th of July weekend. On Saturday, next Saturday, we will roll out our brand new Saturday programming clock, which is going to put a lot more programming on the app or on the Veritas Radio Network website. Of each individual show, it'll put more and more content together at a single listening time, so you'll get to enjoy more Constitution Hour, more My Story of America, more Mark Kresland Show, more Suzanne Option, et cetera, et cetera. That takes place Saturday. On Monday, on Independence Day, we then will air the newly retouched up and remastered Pages of Independence special, which has now been completed and has never before aired in its entirety. This is my search here, my little mystery mission, my search to find out whether or not this document that I have spent so much time and so many years of my life studying and writing movies about and telling the story of, the Declaration of Independence, is there an original copy that Thomas Jefferson viewed as the original that he left for us to see? Well, we're going to solve that mystery. Historians seem not to care about that. If there were, wouldn't you think it would be one of the most priceless artifacts in the history of the world? Certainly of the history of America, wouldn't you think? Well, it is. And I know where it's at, and we'll tell you all about it on Monday. And immediately following that will be The Road to Independence, our original, the 10th anniversary airing of The Road to Independence. On the July the 4th, 2006, we basically took over the Patriot Channel. I'm trying to remember if it was the Patriot Channel there. I think it was. Early days of the Patriot Channel on Sirius XM. We took it over for an entire day, and we ran three-hour rotations of The Road to Independence and then bonus features, and we ran it all day long. That's when Sirius used to care about innovative programming, and they aired it all day long, back to back, back to back. Well, we're going to recreate that on the 10th anniversary of that event. That's next Monday. So you won't have to go anywhere else for great quality Independence Day-themed radio entertainment right here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Now, on Friday's program, I encourage people to go out and start Facebook pages or Twitter feeds or whatever, or maybe even actual blogs, for that matter, around the idea and the concept of a L.A. exit, OK exit, TE or TX exit, Texas, whatever the case may be. But the British started this in the 1970s with the Independent Party, the UKIP, the UKIP, the United Kingdom Independent Party. It was a joke. It was a joke. As soon as the European Union was joined, people wanted to get out of it. And these guys formed a party, and it took them almost 30 years. Pray, folks, to regain the spirit of 76. Doesn't take us 30 years to get back to where we never should have left from. 844-527-8723, our telephone number. If you'd like to be on the program today, call 844-5-CRUSADE. Let me continue with this story here now. We must secede to restore our economic prosperity. We must secede to restore our gun rights. We must secede to restore competition in the marketplace. We must secede to have greater control over our government. We must secede to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Now, while I think that all of those things are correct, you have to be very careful in describing secession as describing it as just pure secession. There's an old adage, folks, you can't replace something with nothing. And it applies here that, yes, you cannot replace something with nothing. So what do you replace the AU with, the American Union? Well, I say you replace it with the system of subsidiarity that we inherited from Christendom Europe. The system of subsidiarity worked like the proverbial charm. It wasn't until the agitators of the 15th and then 16th and then 17th centuries began their rabble rousing and what we call modernity today that the wheels were put in motion to bring forth the mega governments that we currently toil and suffer under. Now here's another one, Robert W. Mary. So it's subsidiarity that we want to return to. Mark had mentioned that earlier today about how he was having some conversations with his local sheriff. Well, the sheriff would be the highest legal officer in a county that was a federal county or in a federal system because the sheriff would have the duty of enforcing a municipal law, and municipal law would be the product of municipalities. So it would be very small and very close to the people. But, folks, we got to get back to the other part of this of this talk and of this discussion here and of any movement that may come about as a result of it. And that is, what are you going to use to regulate the affairs of men? We've been trying for 400-some-odd years to craft some form of an external system that will bring rules to bear upon man that will govern his affairs. Well, I think you're seeing in the final death throes of that effort, you see it in all this wackiness that's out there with homosexuals and transgenders and now transgendered queers. We're now some people want to now be trans species. They want to be transable. People want to cut arms off. The world is apparently lost its collective mind. I have a story in today's pile of prep. I read it yesterday, and I still don't believe that I read it. Here's two that I have before I get back into Brexit. If you need an indicator of just how screwed up things are today, sample this from Pearson McKinney. Before European Christians forced gender roles, Native Americans acknowledged five genders. Why am I supposed to care about what a bunch of cannibalistic, barbaric, near savages, which many of the Native American tribes were, why am I supposed to care what they thought about gender? For heaven's sake! Then we have this one. If that one doesn't jar you, how about this one? Melissa Hogenboom, at a spinoff of the Bloomberg website. Love doesn't just come in pairs. Is it time that marriage laws come to recognize the fact? This woman writes this screed, this six-page-long screed, about how we should be turning towards polyamory. You know, my friend Tom Woods at TomWoods.com comments on my Facebook wall when I posted this yesterday. Tom comments, Mike, why not just declare the entire world married already and be done with it? So even if you're not married, just say, yeah, we're all married. You know, according to this woman, there's no reason to not be married. And everybody ought to have 4, 5, 6, 7. You want 9 wives? Fine, have them. You want 9 husbands? Hey, you want to throw a dog in there? No problem. No dog, no problem. You got a dog? Still, no problem. Because it's all about love. I mean, and the reasoning that she uses. Folks, how is it that people are able to, how is it that this alleged thought process or thinking is going on? By the way, that reminds me. I got accused last week by someone writing me at kingdude@mikechurch.com. You are just dogmatic. You and your dogma. You and your stupid dogma. Your dangerous, stupid Catholic dogma. I endeavored on a little bit of spare time that I had this weekend to come to a reliable and historically demonstrable definition of dogma. You know what dogma basically means, what it used to mean, and what it should mean? It basically means thinking. It's from a Greek word that means to think. It used to be once upon a time that people that knew dogmas that were philosophically attuned and thinking were looked to and were thought of as leaders. And not bad leaders, but good leaders. Today, if you hear the word dogma, it's a run for the light, Carolyn, run! Get out! The evil, despicable poltergeist are nearby, and they're coming for you. We'll talk about it later on in the program. Robert W. Mary, writing at the National Interest, repeat after me, the status quo in the West is not working. The status quo in the West is not working. That's the meaning of the seminal Brexit vote in the United Kingdom on Thursday. It wasn't merely that those who voted for Britain's exit from the European Union didn't like the status quo, or that it wasn't serving their particular interests and needs. It was that the status quo was broken. Old structures are crumbling. The West is in a crisis of the old order. And those pleading with UK voters to cast their ballots for the status quo had essentially placed themselves on the side of dysfunction, of chaos, of menacing threats to the very essence of the West. Uncontrolled immigration, economic stagnation, a loss of national identity. These constitute the legacy of Europe's 70-year march toward more and more integration. Add to that the steady erosion of democratic structures as EU's countries ceded more and more control over the lives of their citizens to nameless and faceless bureaucrats in Brussels, whose constant preoccupation is the stealthy accumulation of political power, a mission at which they are brilliant. That's right. Folks, if you think that the criminal class in Brussels is good at screwing up Europe and making the European Union the greatest crime family organization, crime ring, in all of European history, what does its big brother in America do? The American Union does the exact same thing, but it does it on steroids. Where do you think the Europeans learned it from? Us. We are as proficient as any country or union or pathetic, flimsy excuse for a union of political entities in the history of the world for stealing the wealth of the people. No king could ever get away with this. No king would even dream that he could get away with this. No king would even attempt to get away with this. And yet we are told that we must escape out from underneath the right of kings, the reign of kings, the evils of monarchy. Right now, monarchy looks like a great deal. Read a little history about Christendom, and monarchy looks like a great deal. I'll take it. I'll take what's behind door number two, Monty. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. The wonder of it isn't that British voters issued this stunning rebuke to the status quo. It wasn't really that stunning in the context of the hydra-headed crisis besetting Europe these days. Let me ask you a question out there. How many of you feel kind of stupid today? How many of you feel like you're less of a patriot and more of an imbecile, more of a yes man, more of a sheeple, or in the plural, a shirsim? More likely to just go along because your governing elite ruling masters tell you to go along. Bah! We just got clocked. We just got schooled by the UK. Our cousins back in the old country, the old country in the old country, have just instructed us on how to achieve freedom. When Donald Trump says Brexit is only the beginning, I think Trump is correct. What do you think? Here's my telephone number, 844-527-8723. That's 844-5-CRUSADE. The wonder of it is that so many British leaders and institutions fought so desperately to preserve a status quo that clearly isn't working. But that's always the way. The leaders, the elites, the establishment, those most heavily invested in the status quo always stand to thwart change, even when the voters are telling them that it's time for new structures, new experiments, and new directions. Now, I'm going to go over this again because I talked about it on Friday, but we had so many technical difficulties on Friday, it probably didn't get heard in real time. And that's this. What is it that really was on the ballot in the UK with the Brexit vote last Thursday? What was it? It is true that, technically speaking, secession was on the ballot. And it is true that secession from the Latin secedata means to withdraw. And it is true that now the British will now withdraw from the European Union. Those things are all true. But what is the ultimate cause? What is it ultimately that the Brexit vote was to bring an end to, bring about an end to? It wasn't just the severing of a political band that had connected them with another. Because, after all, the British people, like the rest of the countries of the European Union, those that remain, stupidly remain in it. By the way, did you see that the, I believe it was, is it the Swiss, have now withdrawn their referendum to join the European Union? They're out. They're not even going to attempt it now. More good news. But what is it that the Brexit vote actually attempts to bring an end to? It attempts to bring an end to the 500-year-long, now doomed-to-fail project, was always doomed to fail, to repudiate the order of the ages of Christ. That's what this is all about. When people say that it's not working and they want to change and they want to leave the European Union, they want to leave the American Union, you are repudiating the work of Hobbes and Locke. You are repudiating the alleged fathers of the Enlightenment, the alleged fathers that gave us all this wonderful liberty that has a bunch of radical sex-starved perverts roaming the countryside looking for more excuses to force-feed their perversion on the rest of us, to force-feed acceptance of their perversion on the rest of us. That is what is at stake. Do you know why? And do you know how I know this? Because I have been studying, and I encourage you to study, Philosophia Perennis. Even if you only take some part of the courses, study scholastic thinking. Yeah, Mike, I'm not doing that. That's what you and your goofy, stupid Catholic teaching methods. Well, then, fine. Study Aristotle. You know, Aristotelian ethics are very, very close to Thomistic or the ethics of St. Thomas or the Christianized version of Aristotelian ethics. If you don't want to go that way, then study Aristotle. You'll get pretty much the same. You'll definitely be in the right direction. And when your thinking begins to change, you will not believe just how screwed up the political and the official affairs of this world and of the academic world have become. It will beat you over the head like a proverbial hit you over the head like a proverbial ton of bricks. It will become so apparent and will become so overbearing and so obnoxious you will wonder how it is that now that you know, how are you going to survive with all the inanity and stupidity and horrific excuse for thinking that's all around you. But still, even amongst all the stupidity, the human mind was created by who? Who created us? Well, if you're a Darwinist, you think of some silly little piece of paramecia and a couple of amino acids. Wrong answer. God created us. God created us, as we learn in the book of Genesis, in the creation history. Note I didn't say story. In the creation history, that he created us in his own image, meaning he gave us, he is the ultimate truth. He is truth. So if we're created in his image, then we were created out of truth. You know what that means? That means that the revealed truth in this world, in this realm, that when your intellect hears revealed truth, when it hears the actual truth, your intellect, because your intellect wants to love your creator, it wants to love God. When you hear the truth, you know it. Now, there will be one of two reactions. Either you'll be instantly attracted to it, and you'll begin to love the truth, or pride, the prince of darkness, will whisper into your ear, and pride will rear its ugly head, and pride will get in between your intelligence and thus your thought process, your correct thought process, and will interfere with it. And it'll say, no, that's not true. And then you're off to the proverbial races, and then you have us today. This is the error. This is the error that ultimately must be corrected. Why nip and tuck around the edges? Why not fix the error? So my friends that say all we need is secession and to get back into scale, that's not true. Our thinking is still warped. To fix the error of the thinking, which man at one time was not possessed of the error, and there was an entity that saw to it that the error did not and was not allowed to take hold. If you don't fix the error, then you're just, you know what, you're micturating into the wind. Is any of this sinking in today here on, I realize that today is a Monday, but, you know, in the phone call derby here, the Mark Kreslin show is clobbering the Mike Church show here. We're batting 1,000 here as we go into our first time out at 844-527-8723. 844-5-Crusade. Wanted to mention to you that now that it is summer, there's a great new T-shirt in the Founders Trading Post at MikeChurch.com. I just threw this together on Monday or on Friday. I think that you'll want to get one just in time for Independence Day, if we can get them here in time, get them shipped, which would be a challenge. However, go ahead and make your orders today. That is for the exit, stage right. Go check the graphic out. It's a hashtag, the number sign, exit, stage right. And the R is, of course, a little R, Republican R, meaning exit to Republicanism. And if you exit to Republicanism, then you can exit to subsidiarity. If you can exit to subsidiarity, then you can start to work on a society or a community that can repudiate that error that we just spoke of. With the Brexit vote, back to Robert Mary, we can make a definitive statement about the tenor of our times. Globalism is out. Nationalism is in. The majority essentially slapped down the UK elites that, like the elites of just about every other country throughout the West, and you heard Secretary Kerry earlier, we're not going to allow the stupid people of Great Britain to mess up our relationship with the European Union, Kerry thundered. The United States is going to stand strong on climate change with the European Union, Kerry thundered. Well, you go ahead and do that, John boy. Because you know what? The rest of us, we gone. We gone. We're out. The majority essentially slapped down the UK elites like the elites of just about every other country throughout the West have been undermining the traditional culture of Western civilization with a sneering attitude toward those who wish to preserve the values and mores of yore. The weapon of choice for these elites has been mass immigration. Now, folks, I have talked about this issue here, even though I'm accused of not doing history anymore. I have talked about this immigration issue and how to fix it over and over and over and over again. You see, we offer solutions here on the Crusade Channel because we look for ultimate causes and ultimate purposes. The ultimate purpose of government has to be a good. It has to institute or has to aspire to good. There are instances in which immigration does present good. You can get good out of immigration. There are also instances where, in certain political entities, immigration would not produce good. Let me give you an example. A Christian civilization that was actually living and had its order correct, meaning that they were Christians / Catholics first, and then cobblers or carpenters or computer technicians or plumbers or AC guys or whatever. Second, a civilization that had that order correct would not benefit from the importation or mass migration of large numbers of Muslims. Islam, the heresy, the greatest heresy of all time that is Islam, is not compatible with Christianity. You're not allowed to say that in 2016. Well, if you were the little independent Republic of St. Tammany flying the Carillon de Sacre Coeur above your state capital, your republic capital, you could say it because it's true. The weapon of choice for these elites has been mass immigration, which in England has brought about that writer, what writer Benjamin Schwartz has called the most profound social transformation since the Industrial Revolution. Schwartz, writing in the American Conservative magazine, added that mass immigration in England, quote, hasn't merely embellished, changed, or even assaulted the country's natural culture, national culture. Rather, by its very nature, it perforce obliterates that culture. Well, folks, if you import tens and tens upon thousands or millions of Muslims into a Christian civilization, the effect would be the same, especially if the Muslims practicing taqiyya, which is lie about your real Muslim Islamic intentions until you reach a large enough mass to do something about it, especially if they're practicing taqiyya. Closer to home, one could say the same thing about Donald Trump's capture of the Republican presidential nomination in this year's GOP primaries. To paraphrase the London Times, it was a remarkable victory for the country's anti-elite forces, which not long ago were considered to have little chance of prevailing. Take the immigration issue. As Trump said in the first GOP nomination fight debate, the issue wouldn't even have been getting aired had it not been for him. The status quo elites didn't want to talk about it until they could slip amnesty for current illegals into the equation without suffering any political backlash. By the way, I have a question for those of you that are proponents of the presidential candidacy of Marco Rubio, who's not eligible to be president, not under natural-born citizen as understood at the time the Constitution was ratified. Why are certain members of the talk radio mafia endorsing Rubio's re-election bid? This guy's a clown. Marco Rubio is a clown. He's a plant. He's a fraud. Anyone that thinks that this alleged Catholic is actually a conservative has either not been paying attention or has been smoking on some really good stuff in the hoogal pipe. Pass it over. Maybe the rest of us want a hit. We can't afford to lose a Senate seat. It's that thinking that's the problem. We've got, see, we have to be in the American Union, that's one. And if we have to be in the American Union, well, then Florida must have who we say is a conservative senator. You know, the entire folly of the union really should be questioned. You know, and I actually, I have, Mark and I, Mark Creslin's here, the Mark Creslin Show, every weekday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., principally agree on this point. I even think that my friend David Simpson and I principally agree on this point. Even though David is a little not as committed to secession, he is committed to a return to subsidiarity. And I don't think you can have a Republican scale or any Republican system of government that's successful without having subsidiarity. But we do agree that paying homage and getting on our knees and bowing down and participating in the system that produces people like Marco Rubio is a lost cause, and we're better off to save our time and our energy and apply it somewhere else. Yet the talk radio mafia, the alleged scions of conservatism, are doing the exact opposite. No, stay in the union. No, we got to have a union. No, pledge the flag. No, let's go bomb some more brown people in the third world. Yeah, it's called national defense. Let's have a party. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number if you'd like to be on the program. 844-5-CRUSADE. Continuing now. The Brexit vote and the Trump emergence are part of the same Western phenomenon, a gathering backlash against globalism. I've asked this question many before. Raise your hands out there if you've heard this question on the Mike Church Show. The question goes like this. In the 1980s, did you get a vote on becoming a citizen of the global economy and a citizen of the world? I was happy to be a citizen of St. Tammany Parish, Louisiana. I don't recall getting a vote on being a citizen of the world. As George H.W. Bush put it, we're now going to have the ability to launch this new world order in 1,000 points of light. Why? For the embellishment and the benefit of who or whom? Now listen to the litany of things that Mr. Mary lists. a gathering backlash against globalism and the anti-nationalist forces that dominate elite institutions such as big news organizations, universities, think tanks. I keep telling you people, you're sending money every month to the Heritage Foundation in Mordor, perched on the banks of the Potomac River, inside what I call Mordor on the Potomac. You call it Washington, D.C. Why? These people are in on the grift. They're in on the scam. They exist so that they can allegedly kind of quasi-represent you and can make government more survivable. We're going to teach... We're going to encourage Congress to tyrannize you, but to tyrannize you so you can survive. NGOs and governmental bureaucracies. Europe has been moving inexorably toward more and more integration pretty much since the 1950s, no more. This vote constitutes a turning point. We can't know precisely what will emerge in Britain and Europe, and Europe struggle to find a as Europe struggles to find a new direction, offering greater hope to greater numbers of people marginalized by the bureaucratized EU, but it won't be the status quo. See, I think Mary is missing the mark here. Again, the revolt is against the order. It is the order that was that made membership in a criminal political entity like the EU compulsory. I shouldn't say compulsory, perfunctory. Well, it's just what you do because you're sensitized to do that. By the way, there's some abortion ruling that's coming down from the eight elected oracles in the Supreme Court. As soon as it's announced, I will update you on it. Our telephone line, if you'd like to be on the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, 7 days to Independence Day, or 6 days to Independence Day, and the world broadcast premiere of Pages of Independence, the location, and the mysterious story behind Thomas Jefferson's original copy of the Declaration of Independence. We know where it is, and we're going to tell you where it is, and we'll all know what it is, and what a great story, what a great march through history. Kind of a different take on the docudramas that we have been doing here at MikeChurch.com and with Founding Father Films that you've ever heard before. And then follow that all day, 4th of July, with Road to Independence, the actual story, the story. I mean, it's not a documentary. The dramatic story behind what went into writing and the creation of Declaration of Independence. You're going to love both, and they come to you free of charge right here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, work radio the way it should be. Eric in Louisiana is first up here today on the telephones. See, folks, even when I'm on, the telephones do work. Who knew? Hey, Eric, you're on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and it's good to hear you again this morning. And, your phones do work very well.
I'm glad somebody heard, and I'm glad someone is calling. So we have one listener and one caller today. Hey, you know what? I shouldn't say that because I know that Maggie O'Connell and Christopher are listening in the other room. So we're up to three now.
I wanted to call and say I'm looking forward to the 4th of July and what's coming up next week.
Okay.
Really, I had a question for you, but I just... I don't know if I missed a news clip or I think I overheard something that was kind of amazing to me. I hate to change your role, but did I hear, I don't know if you heard it, but there was a 72% voter turnout and that they were going to turn that down and say it had to be at least 75% or above?
I have no knowledge of what you speak.
Okay, well then I might have been dreaming it, but I thought I heard that and was just completely amazed. When I've kind of unplugged from most of the major media and news, and I try and listen to you guys, and I just didn't know if I'd overheard that or not, so I apologize.
Well, I don't know what the voter turnout was in the 70s. I know when we last talked about it on Friday, right?
Right. And I was listening to the Wall Street Journal, or I'm not sure what, and they said that somebody, I thought I'd heard them say that it had to be over 75% to make it a valid little deal, and I'm like, unbelievable.
No. There was no threshold of voter turnout to make the vote legal. That's BS.
Yeah, not legal, but just valid. Or they
No. You can't change the deal after the fact because you lost.
No, I agree, but I just thought that was them trying to manipulate it.
Well, of course they're trying to manipulate it. They're in a panic. They might actually have to work for a living for a change. Imagine that.
Right.
Angela Merkel may have, the Krauts may actually have to make their own stuff. They may actually have to, you know, here's what's really going on. The Krauts may actually have to actually pay back all the money that they loaned to the Greeks and to the Spanish and the Portuguese and every other hell-forsaken European country. They can't pay it back.
Yep.
So... All right, Eric, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. 844-527-8723, our telephone number. Folks, if you like, let me just read you the headline at Drudge. You want Drudge headline? I'll give you. You want a story? I'll give you a story. Globalist spiral. Here, I'll give you three headlines. Kremlin says Brexit turmoil reminiscent of Soviet Union collapse. Now, we're the only people, civilized people on Earth, that don't think that the collapse of the Soviet Union was a great political event in 1991. Why? Because we don't want anyone to think that secessions are great political events. No, they just kind of happen. Shh, don't tell anyone. Those people in Texas and Vermont and Alaska's Independent Party might get an idea. By the way, you do know, get a copy of Bill Kaufman, one of the greatest living American writers out there. His book is called Bye Bye, Miss American Empire. And Kaufman wrote about how he longs to live in the upstate state of New York. He lives up in what could be called Iroquois, New York. And Kaufman really doesn't care what it's called, but he just doesn't want to be a part of the American Union anymore. And he found a bunch of other people that don't want to be part of it either. Did you know that in Bernie Sanders' home state of Vermont, the Vermont Free State Project has almost gotten Vermont secession on the ballot? Let's pray after Brexit that they actually do. I'd love to see Vermont go on its own, not just because they're a bunch of socialists, but there are some good socialists in Vermont. They ought to be able to govern themselves. Did you know that the Alaska Independence Party has had several conventions in the last 10 years to consider whether or not Alaska should leave the American Union? Think about Alaska. People say Texas is the next logical country to leave. Why not Alaska? What in Hades' name, what in Hades does Alaska get out of, other than a bribe, federal money taken from the trough here in Louisiana and shipped up to Alaska so that they can spend it? What do they get out of the Union? We tell them, hey, you got all that oil land up there. You can't use it. Says who? Shares of banks are crashing. Globalist spiral. Here, Daily Mail. EU must stop others following Britain out of the door. Merkel warns amid market fears. Bloc is no longer governable after Brexit. In other words, Merkel, Angela Merkel, the demon spawn, in the spirit of I won't use the H word because it's a cop-out, but of the Hegelian thinkers of the 1920s, 30s, and 40s in Germany might just have to call out the Luftwaffe, the German Air Force, to go fly over Great Britain and get the air raid sirens going again. German Chancellor says it is necessary to prevent others leaving. In other words, you can't. It's Hotel California. Once you check into the EU, you can't leave. By the way, did you see the graphic that we posted on the Twitter feed on Friday? It is a photoshopped image of the Lincoln Memorial, of Lincoln sitting on his throne, barking orders out. But he is astonished. And the caption of the meme says, "The Brits just did what?" Folks, if you like what you're being hearing here on the Crusade Channel today, why not support our crusade and become a Founders Pass member today and gain instant streaming and download access to every episode of this show and all the others on the Crusade Channel, including the Mark Kresland Show and today a brand new debut episode of Gregory Carpenter's Reverse Deception. You can only hear that here on the Crusade Channel. But if you're a Founders Pass member, you can download them or gain instant streaming digital access anytime you want. Listen to any episode you want, whenever you want. You can subscribe to the Founders Pass for as little as 23 cents per day, and you can also choose between a monthly or yearly membership. And during June, for every new Founders Pass yearly membership purchased, we will ship you an autographed copy of Washington Irving's Life of Washington. You only have 4 days left to take advantage of this now. Of Washington Irving's Life of Washington, Volume 1, the best biography of George Washington ever written. Ever. Please join, and you get the book free, signed by me, the editor, yours truly. Please join our crusade today and become a Founders Pass member by going to VeritasRadioNetwork.com/join or call 866-483-3833. The Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. Folks, big, big news. Huh. If you people in Texas don't secede now, shame on you. SCOTUS. Mitter Church, please, what is SCOTUS? Supreme Court of the United States. SCOTUS just tossed Texas's abortion law. A simple regulation that the people of Texas demanded of their legislature. The legislature passed it and the governor signed it. As now we've had a court ruling, now the Supreme Court has said it gets to decide how many babies die in Texas, not Texans. Folks, we are living in very exciting times. And I don't mean exciting because more babies are going to die. That is always tragic. It is horrific. Should all pray every single day for abortion to end. And abortion will end when people's morality goes back to the morality of Christendom. You won't have any more abortions. If you do have any abortions, you won't know about them because people will be shamed and to the fact that they just murdered their soon-to-be-born child. Doesn't matter the reasons. Don't play that game with anyone. If Texas doesn't opt for Texit now, you Texans aren't worth calling yourselves Texans. As a matter of fact, I want to hear from Texans now for the remainder of the program. The Supreme Court has just told you that as long as you remain in its union, in the AU, I love that the AU, as long as you remain in the AU, you may not try and eliminate the amount of babies killed in your state every year via abortion. Only they can. The heirs of Margaret Sanger are going to see to it that more children are killed, more babies are murdered. And that this mortally atrocious sin and the thinking, the warped, sick, twisted philosophical thinking that goes behind it becomes the law and the rule of the land. Folks, you people in Texas, if you don't Texit now, let me ask you, what will make you Texit? 844-5-CRUSADE is our telephone number, or just call up the app, Veritas Radio Network app, and hit Call Crusade now. So, Mike Churchill, that's my question for the remainder of the day. Supreme Court just threw out Texas's law that was going to seriously impede Planned Parenthood and the rest of the baby killers, the abortuary industry, seriously impeded the abortuary industry in Texas. Supreme Court has just told you people in Texas, you may not stop, you may not thwart the diabolical, demonic execution of soon-to-be-born children in your state. Only they can. And only Planned Parenthood gets to participate in the making of the laws in Texas. Now, if that doesn't make you Texit, please call me and tell me what will. Slowly, here's the telephone number. 844-527-8723. So Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be.